a real Jekyll and Hyde performance from the Grizzlies. Great in the first half, not so great in the second, but a win is a win, and the Grizzlies needed one of those pretty badly. They got it. We'll talk about it. Hear from Mike Conley and more. You're listening to Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. This is a Friday edition of the podcast, and I know we had talked a lot about winning and about the game and about style of play and all that stuff. The important thing to remember before we get into all the nuts and bolts of this thing is that the Grizzlies did win. They didn't lose. So all of the talk about how they played, all that stuff, you know what? It's a lot easier when it comes off of a win, and it does, even though it was not pretty, even though it was not all that impressive in the end, it still comes after a win. The Grizzlies, 96-91 winners over Dallas. We'll talk about the style of play. We'll talk about some of the issues personnel-wise coming up in a bit. Also, a reminder, I've gotten some of your questions already. Feel free to keep sending those in. I'm going to probably delay because I really meant to do a mailbag today, but forgot that there was a doubleheader game back-to-back, so I was like, well, let's push that back. So I'll tell you what, we'll do that for the Monday pod. I've gotten some questions already. Please feel free to keep sending those in, either on my Twitter, at Peter Edmiston, and I'll send you a reminder there too, or email me, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. Go ahead and get those to me, and we'll knock that out for the Monday edition of the pod. So the Grizzlies do win 96-91, as I mentioned, behind Marc Gasol with another spectacular performance. And you know, Marc has been the guy this year for the Grizzlies. He is absolutely put this team on his back, offensively especially, and gotten it done. Not to disparage his defense, but offensively, the team has needed somebody to step up and make plays, and he has done it. 25-13 to go along with 3 assists for Mark in this one. 8 of 8 from the foul line after struggling from the foul line on Wednesday against the Mavs. 8 of 16 from the field. Again, probably could even take more shots than that. He still is more productive, and he's a little more prolific than he has been in years past. It's crucial. It's crucial for the Grizzlies to get that because you know, they are not getting much from some of the key members of that starting lineup. You know, Mike Conley, who ends with 22 points on 13 shots, so not bad efficiency at all. But you know, the way he goes about getting it is not what we're used to seeing. The part we're used to seeing is that he has performed well in the clutch. That's Clutch Conley. You know that. But he's not been able to get the three-point shot going with any kind of consistency. And really since that very first game against the New Orleans Pelicans, where he was terrific, since then it has been a struggle for the majority of the game for Mike Conley. And you know, he's still putting up pretty good numbers. He's still doing you know, a lot of the things that you want him to do, but it's not happening for him with the jumper. It's happening more at the basket. You know, on jump shots, right now he's shooting 32% per synergy. 32% on jump shots. So that is a number that is rather low for Mike Conley. If you look, for example, last year on jump shots, Mike shot 43% overall. And you know, that put him in the top 6% of shooters league-wide. This is all per synergy. He was 95th percentile in catch and shoots. Right now, and again, you know, it's too early to say, but right now that's down to 65th percentile this year. So you know, Mike's struggling in the areas that you would expect him to succeed in, which tells you that probably there's a lot of room for improvement. But it also tells you that you know, this starting lineup in general is not getting it done. And you know, Thursday night against the Mavs, it certainly didn't get it done. And I think that has a lot to do with, as we talked about on Wednesday's about Wednesday's game and yesterday's pod, you know, a lot of that has to do with Andrew Harrison and to some extent Jarrell Martin, but in particular Harrison, who just, you know, his presence out there makes it very difficult for the starting lineup to really have any kind of fluidity to reach the heights that they can reach. You know, you know that you're dealing with a guy that just, you know, he's doing the best he can, but he's not at that level. And, you know, it's causing some problems. You know, the Grizzlies have really squeezed out as much as they can possibly squeeze out, considering that you're dealing with a team that's lost, you know, three rotation players. You know, you're without Wayne Selden, who's still struggling with that quad injury. Ben McLemore, who I had a chance to talk to a little bit after the game, and he says, you know, he's getting there, and he looked okay. So I'm thinking he'll be in the mix in the next, you know, couple weeks, getting back to it. But you're missing him, you're missing Selden, and you're missing Jermichael Green, which means that everybody else kind of bumps up. All three of those spots have to be replaced by players who probably aren't quite as good and who aren't quite as suited for those positions, which, you know, that's going to tell. That's going to tell. And I think you saw in some of the things that the Mavericks did, they forced the Grizzlies to play with some small lineups. And when you can't play Andrew Harrison, for example, when you don't feel comfortable playing Andrew Harrison, but you still have to go small, well, then that means Dylan Brooks has to play more. And he's a rookie. He's going to make some mistakes, and he made some mistakes. You're going to rely on, you know, him. You're going to rely on Jarrell Martin to have to play the role of Jermichael Green. And Jarrell is playing better than certainly you would have had any right to expect, given how close he was to being cut from this team and how little a part he played in his first 2 years. He's exceeding those expectations, but he's not Jermichael Green. And you saw it on the switches. You saw it on the individual defense that he had to play. That's not him. He's not able to stay with the guards in the way that Jermichael can. You know, Jermichael was known for his ability. He's got great hands too, and he could get those steals. You know, he did commit a lot of fouls, but so does Jarrell. Jarrell with 5 fouls again in the ballgame tonight. So it's not a knock on him because he had 9 points, 9 rebounds. He had a really good start to the game too, hitting a couple threes. I think Jarrell's probably, like I said, exceeded those expectations, but still, he's being asked to do too much. Andrew Harrison's being asked to do too much. Really, Dylan Brooks is being asked to do too much, and he's doing a lot better than you would have any reason to expect. But he's being asked to do too much. You know, the bench is really performing very well, particularly at FedEx Forum, where they are outscoring opponents by like 90 points in the first 3 ball games combined. They have played exceptionally well, but you can only get so much. And you saw in that second half where it started to fray. And that offense that, you know, we've seen the new look, fast-paced, tempo, all that stuff, it's slowed down quite a bit over the last 2 games. Part of that is because they're playing Dallas, and Dallas has a way to junk it up. You know, Rick Carlisle did a great job of really throwing a lot of bodies at the Grizzlies, not always the best guys out there, but just throwing quantity and making it hard for the Grizzlies to operate. You know, throwing a lot of guys, triple teaming at times, you know, Marc Gasol, getting the ball out of his hands, making the Grizzlies move it. And a lot of times the ball would just sort of stop and it ended up being an ISO situation. The Grizzlies have been really very good in ISO situations this year, largely because of a guy like Tyreke Evans. But when it gets down to just ISO ball, as it did for big chunks of the second half, that's not going to work. That's not going to work, and it didn't work for the Grizzlies. So, you know, they get outscored by 14 in the second half, gave up 56 points to the Mavericks in the second half. Most of the time this year, it has been a problem for the Grizzlies in the first half, and they've played better in the second. That wasn't the case in this ball game. But, again, this stuff is easier to take in a win. Stuff's easier to take when you get the job done and you actually finish the game. And David Fizdale after the game made the point that this was a learning situation where you see your team kind of, you know, have to push back, have to fight back after being pushed, have to come back after, you know, having Dallas claw their way back from 22 down to take the lead, you know, relatively late in the game. That's a real test of your mettle. You know, what are you going to do? And in that sense, the Grizzlies passed that test because they fought back, didn't get demoralized, didn't lose a game that would really have caused you some problems. You still win it. And hopefully, if you look at it glass half full, you get an opportunity to learn and to grow as a result of, you know, what you went through. That's the idea, that you can hopefully learn in a win rather than having to have a loss in order to learn that lesson. But, you know, that all remains to be seen how much the Grizzlies are actually going to learn from that. We'll find out more tomorrow night when the Grizzlies take on the Rockets. Perhaps we'll see a little bit more of what they've done, because honestly, in that Rockets game, the offense wasn't that great on Monday night either. But it got the Grizzlies executed well in the last 6 minutes of the game on that 20-2 run to end up winning. But in the bulk of the game, that other 42 minutes, the offense really wasn't all that great. The Grizzlies had scored 78 points in those first 42 minutes. So that run was impressive and a very important win for the Grizzlies, but it does sort of mask some of the issues that they're having on the offensive side. And, you know, I would advocate at this point, I just think you've got to get Andrew Harrison out of the lineup. I think it's time. You know, starting Dylan Brooks would be my recommendation. I think Brooks has shown the wherewithal to be able to hang with that group. You're going to make some mistakes, but I think his shooting, his offensive ability is better already than Andrew Harrison. And, you know, he's going to be able to provide the defensive ability, the ability to hang with the guards if you need to switch. You know, that you're gonna need. He's gonna be able to switch on to guys. He can even show, and we've seen a little bit, that he's not intimidated by dealing with bigs. You know, he'll make mistakes. He's a rookie, but I still think he's a better option, assuming that Seldon is not gonna be able to play, and McLemore is not gonna be able to play for sure on Saturday. So I would say that's my recommendation. You got to get him out of the lineup. I would not start Tyreke Evans. I would even consider starting Mario Chalmers. And Chalmers has struggled in the last couple of ball games. Has really that magic that we saw from him earlier in the year has kind of slowed down. It has not been the easiest for Chalmers. But you play him because, frankly, Mike Conley is playing more two for the bulk of the game until the very end of the game. You know, he's playing off the ball more than he's playing on the ball. So you could start him alongside Chalmers, and I think you'd be okay. Or you could even, like I said, start Dylan Brooks if you wanted to. But I would suspect that you want to do Chalmers because that would allow you to have the two ball handlers that you have now, you know, with Harrison, and you can move Conley off the ball. So there's two different approaches there. Either one, I think, is better at this point than starting Harrison. And some of you might advocate for starting Tyreke, but I think you got a couple problems there. Number one is he's still on a restriction. I asked David Fizdale about it before the game, and he said it's, you know, not, he didn't want to term it a restriction, but he did say that he had to be very mindful of the minutes that Tyreke played. Well, that's pretty much a restriction, and he's still on, you know, that kind of a restriction. It looks like it's around 25, 26 minutes, because that's what, you know, Tyreke has been playing for the most part in the ball games out there. And tonight it was around 23 minutes in the game against Dallas. So it's always been between 23 and 25. That's what you expect to see. But Tyreke's been great. He's been great in that second unit, and they need scoring in that second unit. Yeah, you know, they need somebody to get after it. They need someone to be able to do those ISOs that we talked about and be able to, you know, get you offense when things get a little bit rough. When you have that group out there that really is struggling, you need to finish. And Tyreke's had a knack for hitting those threes. He's had a knack for getting to the basket. He had 19 points in the game against Dallas on Thursday night. You know, 3 of 5 from 3, 7 of 12 from the field. Got to the basket. It was very physical. Looked great. I think you need that on the second unit. I would not start Tyreke. I'd be more inclined to start Mario Chalmers or Dylan Brooks, who was, for whatever it's worth, the plus-minus leader among either team last night, plus 13 in 25 minutes for Dylan Brooks. Before we hear from Mike Conley, I want to tell you about our friends at SeatGeek. SeatGeek brings you this podcast. Just go to the App Store and download SeatGeek. If you want to go to a show, if you want to go to a concert, if you want to go to an event and you want to do that as cheaply as you possibly can, guaranteed, then SeatGeek is the answer for you. Let them do all the work for you. It's what I do when I want to go to a show, when I want to go to a concert at FedEx Forum, if I want to go to something at the Orpheum here in Memphis, or wherever you happen to be listening, whatever, you know, concert hall, venue, you name it. It's super easy. Do what I do. Go to SeatGeek, get the app, and just as I've done, download it. First thing you want to do is to go to the settings tab, go to the promo code area, type in promo code LONBA, and you'll get $20 back off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's LONBA. And here's what SeatGeek does. They go proprietary. That means only they can do it across all of the ticket sites. So they will make sure that you're not missing anything because you don't want to spend all the time. That's really what it comes down to. It's time. You don't want to spend that time, 20, 30 minutes, an hour or more, going to each site and figuring out what the price is, where the tickets are. Is it good? Is it bad? They do all that work for you. And they make it super easy, color-coded. It is so simple, guaranteed. You'll know what you're getting, and you know what you're getting is really terrific. It's SeatGeek. It's super simple. I use it. You should, too. Again, get the app, SeatGeek. Just search for it. It's really easy, SeatGeek, on iPhone, Android, whatever your device is. They've got you covered. Guaranteed. And remember that promo code, LONBA, to get $20 back off your first SeatGeek purchase. Well, as I mentioned, I had a chance to talk to Mike Conley exclusively here on Locked on Grizzlies and asked Mike a few things after the game, talked a little bit about the offense and about some of the things that have gone on there, the defense as well, with the switching and some of the new things that we've seen conceptually from the Grizzlies so far this year. But I started off asking Mike a little bit about why he has struggled so much in first halves of games.
I'll take those shots every game. They're rolling in and out, a lot of them. And, you know, get an and one. They call it back. It's just that kind of start. You know, it's just I'm searching for everything. Can't seem to get it early on. But, you know, I'm not mad at it. Like I said, if I'm playing this way and I consider it not being great, I'm not playing great and we're winning, I'm excited for, you know, when I start playing, you know, like myself and helping the team out.
Defensively, is it tough for you guys with the lineups and the lineups that you have to throw out because you're missing three rotation guys, and when you go small, you have to play in some lineups that are probably not what you would have expected necessarily?
Right. Yeah, we're working defensively. Yeah, we've had to, you know, there's a lot of switches, there's a lot of mismatches going on, and a lot of running around. And, you know, we definitely use a lot of energy on that end, but you know, we understand how important that end of the game is for us, and we just got to continue to, you know, knowing that we're a couple men down, to build that conditioning to be able to sustain that level to play defensively, and then on the offensive end be able to still execute and still cut hard, still make shots, and that's what we're kind of battling right now.
Does this guy, when you guys are doing the principles that you guys are working on defensively, has it been executed pretty well in terms of the switches, what you guys want to do? I know sometimes that's ended up with matchups that haven't necessarily been ideal, but I'm sure that's part of the learning process of getting used to it, right?
Yeah. For the most part, we've done about what we wanted to do with the schemes. I think Dallas was a unique situation. I think Dirk is hard to game plan for somebody like that, especially switching, you know, little guys on him. No matter how old he is, he's going to knock down that shot at the elbow or in the paint every single time. So it's just different. I think day to day we'll learn how to adjust with different teams and continue to grow with that kind of scheme.
Overall, the Grizzlies still doing very well defensively in terms of their numbers, but it just comes in fits and starts. And as he mentioned, you know, schematically they look pretty good doing most of the stuff that they want to do, but it's just kind of it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be, one of those things that, especially when, depending on the personnel that are out there, you're going to see moments when it looks a little chaotic, moments when it breaks down, and moments when it looks pretty good. And we saw a little bit of all of those on Thursday night against the Mavericks. But, all in all, after all of the talk that we've had and all the things that have, you know, not necessarily gone all that well, because the truth is they haven't looked that great in the bulk of the games this week, they still won two of them. And they've still won four games, including against Golden State, this year. So 4-1, considering the other teams in the West. And that, you know, that's the thing. When you start to look around at some of the other teams that are out there, yeah, I mean, not even really just the West. I mean, look at Cleveland, for example. They're really struggling to start the season, but the Jazz have not gotten off to a good start. They lose to Phoenix on Wednesday night. You've seen Denver, a team that was thought to be playoff certainty. They've gotten off to a really bad start in this ball game. Minnesota has gotten off to a bad start. So, you know, a lot of teams that you would have thought were going to be better have not gotten off to very good starts. Meanwhile, the Grizzlies are sitting there at 4-1 in spite of not really playing their best basketball for most of that stretch and not having three key guys. Pretty good, all things considered. So if you want to look at it glass half full, then you can absolutely do that, and there's plenty to see there. If you want to look at it glass half empty, you can do that too. But I think it's probably, even though there are some things that the Grizzlies need to work on overall, you're still talking about a very impressive start to the season and a lot to like about what the Grizzlies have been able to put together so far. As I mentioned, the mailbag is coming your way on Monday, so please help me out with those questions. Send them in to me via email, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. Any feedback, anything you want to throw my way, please feel free to shoot me an email there or hit me up on Twitter. I am at Peter Edmiston. Any requests that you have, you want to see some numbers, you want me to put something together for you, I can do that for Monday's pod. But again, looking to answer some of your questions, an early season mailbag for Monday. We'll do that. And we'll also have a recap, of course, of what happened with the Houston Rockets game at FedEx Forum on Saturday. We will do that all coming up on Monday here on Locked On Grizzlies. Big thanks to all you guys for listening and subscribing. Thanks for helping make that transition over to Panoply Network. So far has been pretty smooth, but if you have any issues with that, let me know as well. Until Monday, thanks so much for listening. You've been Locked On Grizzlies.